On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
It's not as good as I remembered it being.
Tread lightly, man.
Okay.
Tread very, very lightly.
Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
No, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
Just do it!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Tall Can Audio podcast. I am your occasional host, but sometimes guest, Michaela Schreider. I'm joined by Matthew Robinson, as always. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Tall Can Audio. Matt, welcome to episode 755. How you doing?
I'm kind of cringing a little bit. Matthew, I only get that when I'm in trouble and when my mom calls me Matthew.
Well, you're just lucky I didn't middle name you.
Honestly, so. I don't let that out. I don't let people get the hold of that very easily.
No, that's sacred information. Right. Very personal.
Things are good over here. Happy to have you back on the show, as you've seen online, and we're getting more and more messages for people want more Michaela. So here we go again.
We got to give the people what they want.
Of course we do.
All right, we'll start off with the most important note of the day, and that is, what are you drinking today?
So I am trying something new from the Furnace Room Brewing Company, which is where you find all your fanciest beverages, I'm sure, is the Furnace Room. They're out of Georgetown. This is the Beardmore Kolsch. And so I'm kind of hit and miss with Kolsches. I, if they're done well, I enjoy them. Sometimes it's, I never dislike them, but... I enjoyed the name here, both of the brewery and the beer. So that's what we're going with today. They say it's got a little bit of an apple tinge to it, maybe, and I'm curious about that. So we'll see how that goes. What do you got going on?
So I am going with the Brewmeister Dortmunder German Pale Ale.
Okay.
This is Brewmeister's out in Carlton Place, so kind of out my way. We went there, I want to say about a week ago, for some drinks and picked up some socially distanced patio drinks, obviously, and picked up a bunch of their beer because every time I go there, I'm reminded how much I love it. And so I've still got quite a bit in my fridge, so I thought I'd crack into that one today.
Perfect.
There we go. Actually, the one you're drinking, I didn't have it last weekend, but my husband did. He just picked it up randomly at the LCBO.
Yeah, it's been in the LCBO here.
I just remember thinking the guy on the can looked like the world's ultimate hipster.
I get that. Yeah, I can see that a little, which is not me at all. I just wanted to try the beer. I'm not trying to relate to this guy. Although I'll be honest with you, as we live now in a world of Zoom meetings and FaceTimes and stuff. But beyond that, it's a lot of work from home. It's a lot of not seeing anybody. Sometimes I don't notice until like I hit open on whatever the incoming Zoom call or whatever is that. Oh, there is a little more beard here than there should be. I got to get this back under control a bit, right? Like, you can kind of get away with maybe the collared shirt and the track pants if you're sitting on these calls, but you still got to keep the beard under control. So that's become a little bit of a pandemic casualty as numbers ramp back up. I got to get that back under control too here. And it's just hard, right?
Pandemic beard.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When you're sitting in your own home, it doesn't really cross your mind. Like when you're having to get up and leave the house every day, you're kind of like, all right, you get into a routine. But right now it's a bit sketchy.
I can't relate, but no. I can imagine.
Certainly.
Just to your point on Kolsches, though, I'm normally a huge fan of Kolsches, like you said, when done right.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that Kolsches, much like any light lager or blonde ale, like it is so hard to hide crap in light beers like that, because you can taste everything.
Yep.
So if a beer isn't made well, I find that Kolsches and blonde ales and all the lighter beers, that's where you can really taste it. So as much as I know people would kind of scoff at the lighter beers, I am a huge fan and I've made that very well known. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably one of the hardest to truly get right.
Well, I can tell you on first pull on this one, there's nothing objectionable about it, but that's because there's not much here at all. Like, it's a little bland. It's a little...
Okay.
There's not a lot going on. So you certainly wouldn't complain that they overdid it on this or didn't quite hit enough. It's just kind of there, right? Like, there's not a ton here. So you'll have no problem finishing it or whatever, but it's, you know, I don't know that it's something you'd repeat. Again, this hipster guy on the can, he's underselling or maybe overselling what this beer is going to deliver. I want to ask you before we go any further, because I just saw this on CFRA there in Ottawa, tweeted out that they got data from Google Maps and what people are looking for and searching for. And they say that the number of people requesting walking directions this year is down 23%. Well, the number of people requesting cycling directions is up 40%. And that one kind of makes sense to me. People are trying to be outside a little more. Maybe you normally would have carpooled or whatever might be going on, and now you're outdoors, and or maybe you just bought a bike because you'd been locked down. That one kind of makes sense. I am surprised to hear that people are walking less. Is that square to you? That's odd to me.
That seems very odd to me. And I can really only speak to my personal experience, but I know I'm not alone in this. Like, I've obviously been working from home for the last 8 months or so. Mm-hmm. And going outside and getting a walk is like my only way of leaving the house most days. And I don't have anywhere to drive to. So yeah, I'm going to walk, like, unless I'm going to the grocery store, there's really nowhere for me to drive to. So yeah, I'm going to walk wherever I'm going. And granted, I live in Almont, so it's a smaller town.
Only so many places to walk.
Yeah, I've got, even downtown is like a 15-minute walk, but pretty much everything's in walking distance. Like,
right.
If I need to go get a coffee or whatever, I can walk. But I imagine, like, if you live even in some of the more suburb areas, like, I imagine you'd probably find an excuse to walk somewhere.
Can you find me some trails around here or something?
Yeah.
Like, anything to get out and get active. I'm surprised it's down.
Go to any of the trails in the outskirts areas of Ottawa this year, and they are like dangerously packed.
Yes. It's hard to social distance suddenly on a hike, which is it's like a
march. They had a whole story on Eagle's Nest out in Calabogie, which is not the longest hike in the world, but it has a beautiful lookout. And they said that it was becoming a problem because so many people were going there.
Right.
And there's only so many places to park for one. So you're, you know, putting your life on the line just walking across the street. And then also, yeah, like you was getting to the point where socially distancing was a little challenging. So I find that very hard to believe. I guess maybe people are just not walking to places that they need directions to.
Right, like, that could be. You go out for a stroll and just kind of go wherever you're going. Whereas before you were looking for walking directions from work to wherever you were going that night, maybe, or whatever.
Oh, you know, and this is just a hunch from me, but like the most popular time that I request walking directions is if I'm in a new city.
Right.
If I'm traveling somewhere.
That's true.
None of us are doing that.
Tourism's way down. Yeah, that's true.
So that could be it.
Yeah. You know what? You may have just cracked this. So.
Look at that. CFRA should just come to me for this kind of stuff from now on. It's very scientific.
True.
I will say, just before we kind of move on, we got a lot of really fun stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. People, I'm telling you. I just want to kind of comment on the beer I'm drinking, because I have had it before, so it's not surprising to me. But I think I've probably voiced my love for Brewmeister, and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's spelt like Braumeister, but I call it Brewmeister. Who knows?
Right.
I love their beer so much. They do pretty much strictly kind of European Bavarian style beers.
With that name.
So yeah, Dortmunder. And so their names are awesome. And this one being a German pale ale, like it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever had like a Vienna lager, like
it's
a little darker, a little toastier, but it's got like a nice hop finish without being super hoppy.
Okay. You're selling me.
I'm a big fan.
I'm getting that. Yeah. All right. You're selling me. And you said Carlton Place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd ordered from another brewery out there, and it was down to them and Brewmeister, whatever we're doing there. I'm not going to make nearly as much of an effort to, as you know, as I mispronounce your Twitter handle all the time.
Yeah.
That's just kind of what I do. I went with, and now I forget whatever they were called, the other one out of Carlton Place.
Stalwart.
That's it. And I really enjoyed that. And so I hadn't circled back. But this is the second time that you have raved about these guys on the show. So I will go out of my way the next time that I'm placing a delivery order. That's where I'll head. Although that could be a little while because I'm getting really excited. Just over a week, maybe a little more than that, away from receiving my advent calendar from the Nita Beer Company.
Yes, it's that time of year again.
It really is. I'm so pumped to get a hold of that. 23 different breweries over 24 days. I believe Nita goes 1 in 24, so that's fair as they organize the whole thing. And then everything in between, something different every day, man. It takes you back. It's like being a kid all over again. I wonder what I'm getting today. And you're almost like toe-tapping at like 3 o'clock, especially if you're working from home now. Like, is it too soon to go and see what that beer might be?
You can get away with it now.
Yeah, no, I know.
As long as my current employer isn't listening.
Right, exactly. So I'm
just kidding. Only after work hours.
Right. Strictly. So I'm pretty pumped about that. That'll be coming around in the next week, and that'll give plenty to talk about on the show as well. So,
is it too late to order those?
Okay, so I know he's sold out online. Like, you can't order them directly from him anymore. But at the Nita Beer Instagram account the other day, 2 or 3 days ago, he listed a couple of beer stores that still had some in stock. So I know it's getting low, it's getting tight, but it might still be out there. And that's where I would look, is on the social media feeds for the Nita Beer Company.
Okay, I am asking strictly out of selfishness.
Of course,
I haven't ordered it yet, but now I'm deeply, deeply regret. So, but it may help the listeners as well.
Absolutely. They'll be racing with you. You should go before I release this in the morning and get yours.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So like I said, we have a lot to kind of go through. This week would have been Grey Cup week. Mm-hmm. So we are going to kind of focus on the Grey Cup more or less for the most of the episode. But by Grey Cup, I mean, obviously, Shania Twain.
Sure.
But we'll get into that. I do want to share and talk about some very exciting news, and I never thought I'd say this, out of the Miami Marlins this week, which is they hired Kim Ng as their general manager, making her the first female GM in the MLB, in MLB history, and one of the first female GMs in North American professional sports history. And I'm saying one of because I cannot forget my girl, Joanne Pollack, from the Ottawa, I believe it was the Rough Riders when she was the
89, GM. I think, would have been the Rough Riders. So,
we can't leave Joanne.
No,
out of this,
a lot of the big American media not focused on the Ottawa Rough Riders. But you're right, there was another woman who went ahead. But as far as we can call it American sports, maybe.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't take away from how big this news was, especially considering, like, I think most people, even if they are a CFL fan, you know, it's been so long since Joanne was the GM. It's been so long since we've seen a female GM in men's professional sports.
I had no idea. Like, I'll just level with you. It wasn't until people started putting it out there. I was like, oh, awesome. But I had no idea.
And the only reason I really know is that I interviewed Joanne on the Mouchoir podcast, I believe last year. And then I connected with her. She conveniently also works in communications. So I've kind of kept in contact with her since then, but she's like nicest person on the planet, by the way. And so many great stories about what it was like being a female GM in the late 80s and early 90s, if you can imagine what that was like. But you know, we have to give respect and credit where credit is due.
Certainly.
And Joanne kind of shattered that ceiling first, but there was still plenty left for Kim Ng to shatter when she got here. So very, very exciting news. And again, I didn't think it would be the Miami Marlins, or even, I'll be honest, I didn't think it'd be the MLB. You know, I always thought the NBA would be the first of the major sports leagues.
They've got some coaching staffs, right? No head coaches yet, but I think there's a couple assistant coaches around the NBA. And in some front offices. So you're right. The NBA does seem to be the most open-minded or most forward-thinking of these leagues. I'm with you, though. I saw a great tweet the other day that was like, let's all buy Marlins jerseys. And you're like, a day earlier, you're like, no one on earth would have possibly said that. It's suddenly to see them going first and allowing this. And it's interesting to know, like, the Marlins are a team, and stay with me, listener, before you start typing your angry tweets, are a team because of what they've done in the past and attendance issues and building it up and tearing it down so often and bad ownership and this and that. The Marlins are a team you could see doing something for publicity's sake. And so you got to do some research. You got to find out who Kim is and what she, and you find in a hurry, there is no one more qualified. When we see in any sport, there's going to be a new GM opening. One of the first things that you start to hear is all the assistant GMs, or the most highly thought of assistant GMs, are in the mix, right? And forever, if we bring it back to the NHL, it was always Paul Fenton, right? He's going to be the next GM of something. There's another guy out of Nashville that was always in the mix for these sorts of things. And that's where Kim comes from, right? Is 20 years experience, more than that, really, of being in Major League Baseball front offices, having come up through the minor leagues and doing her job that way. And you have to go through and you go, okay, this is not a good publicity move. This is a good hire for someone who has paid their dues, knows their shit, and has earned a chance to do this properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I always struggle with this because I feel like we always have to have this conversation every time a woman gets a job anywhere, really. We have to back up how qualified she is. But like, and I think it's fair to any GM who gets hired, male or female, regardless of their gender, you know, it's worth a conversation.
Qualified?
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth a conversation to say, like, you know, where they come from, what background do they have? What teams have they been with? What is their track record? And even in that sense, like, Kim Ng blows it out of the, park here, or hits it out of the park. 30 plus years experience with the Chicago White Sox, the New York Yankees, the LA Dodgers, 8 postseason appearances, 6 league championships, 3 World Series. Like, she is not only has she been in the league and with teams for a long time, but she's had success with the team she's been with. And I'm not saying that to necessarily, you know, go down this rabbit hole of we need to justify why a woman was hired. But I think that, you know, regardless of her background, this is a great hire.
Of course it is.
Look at her track record. It's insane.
Well, the only reason I bring it up, just to cut you off a little bit there, is because it's the Marlins, right?
Who
we do so often point when, you know, with all due respect to Manon Raume, it was a publicity stunt when the Tampa Bay Lightning put her in there because they were a new franchise and they wanted people to pay attention. And it wasn't with any sort of long term whatever in mind. The Marlins have done some crazy shit over the years. And so to kind of, it's got very little, in my opinion, to do with her gender, although that is part of the story here since she's the first. It's just because it's the Marlins where you have to go, okay, I know why you might be skeptical because it's the Marlins, but this was a good hire. This was a good decision for someone who was qualified.
Absolutely. And yeah, the Raume piece is interesting because I always have a hard time with that. As great of a moment as it was, it in my opinion, it gave a lot of ammo to the people who make a case for the fact that women's hockey shouldn't grow in that, you know, look, like they had one female goalie in the NHL and that's it. Well, I don't think women need to play in the NHL. I think they need their own league is properly funded and given the support and marketing and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It deserves for those players. Like I've never thought that it's even worth discussing having women in the NHL at the playing level because I think that they deserve their own league.
Right.
And I think that for every time I deal with, you know, people making a case against that, they always bring up Minnow Raume. But it's not fair, to your point, that was about raising the profile. As great of a moment as it was, and all due respect to her, she's a fantastic
Course.
It was a way of getting people talking.
It was publicity, that's it, yeah.
And it just sucks that that's always what people go back to. I wish they had done something equally big, but in the vein of moving the sport of women's hockey forward, not the team of the Tampa Bay Lightning forward. You know what I mean?
Since we're here anyway, and you know, we'll get back to this hire in a second. I always prefer, and I know it's so much lower profile, but when you hear stories about Shannon Zabados being invited to Oilers practice because someone's sick, right, or to feel. I like those stories more than because they're not meant to be this attention grabbing look at this. It's, hey, we need another capable goalie to come fill in a practice. She's right down the road. And to me, that's fun. I like looking at that. You're not trying to get her into games. You know, as you said, let's get a league set up where these women can compete against each other. But I still I kind of I like when I see those stories occasionally of some of these other women goalies just who get invited to practice just because we need a goalie and we could invite some kid out of the university and he's going to be fine. He's just filling in as well. But to me, like, those are more fun to me for some reason, even though they're not at the same profile. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. And I think that's a great point because I think that they're also kind of done with the intention of raising the profile of that athlete, right? Like, it's about getting people, you know, the sports media in Edmonton talking about Shannon Zabados as opposed to and getting people who don't normally follow women's hockey to realize who she is, right?
Yeah, instead of using it to raise the profile of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's exactly. About, yes. Exactly. That, and I think that's great because they used to do, I think Haley Wickenheiser used to go out to Philadelphia Flyers practices quite a bit. And then they'd always do a story on it afterwards, and the players would talk about how great it was playing with her and all this stuff. And it, you know, it turned into a nice SportsCenter story, and then that'd be it. But at least, you know, SportsCenter was talking about Haley Wickenheiser that day when they wouldn't normally have been.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I love when that's and I love seeing women profiled by the NHL. I think they absolutely should be profiled by the NHL in various different ways because that is, you know, much like the NBA is to the WNBA, that is the league that ultimately is probably going to partner with whatever female hockey league is hopefully eventually formed in my lifetime. You know, it's great to see teams and the league use their platform to raise the profile of female hockey players wherever possible. Doesn't happen enough.
No, but, it doesn't.
You know, that's a prime example of that, in my opinion. So this was a huge week for young girls everywhere. Seeing Kim Ng in a position of power in the MLB. And, you know, I've talked about this, I don't know how many times, but it's important for people to see people they relate to and know, especially at a younger age, and know that, hey, I can do that.
Yep. Hey, look, if you there don't, it is.
Exactly. If you don't see it, you don't even think it's an option for you.
Kamala Harris, standing up before Joe Biden's speech there, whatever. There it is. There's a black woman standing there next in line to the presidency of the United States. Is that what this whole moment is about? No. But is it valuable to be able to point for little girls around whatever, America, North America, the world, whatever, and go, it's right there. It's right there. Is there still a long way to go? Yes, it is. But is it possible? There it is. There's proof that it's possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd bring up Barbie on a sports podcast, but there's also, you know, Barbie released two female hockey player dolls this week in partnership with Tim Hortons at Marie-Philippe Poulin and Sarah Nurse. So I think
you might have just helped me with my Christmas shopping.
Dude, for me, thank you. I'm still trying to figure out if it's weird that a grown woman buys Barbie for herself. It is.
Right,
don't worry.
I'll have to get to you.
But that's like, it's a small thing, but it is also huge. Cause like, you know, just in my experience growing up, I never wanted to play with Barbie because I don't care about things she was doing. Yeah.
Right.
If you had given me a doll that was a female hockey player, oh my God, you would have changed my life. And
and
not only a doll who's a female hockey player, but you've got a doll who's a black female hockey player.
Super
right?
important.
Like that's
and to
also,
be fair, like over the years, over the last couple of years, I know Barbie has tried to put out, you know, different builds, different races, different all sorts of things instead of just this, you know, busty Barbie that was always the standard Barbie for 30 or 50 years or whatever it was. That's really cool. I had no idea. And I do have a niece who collects some Barbies that I'm always trying to, hey, you want to watch hockey with Uncle Matt? And she barely cares, right? But that could be kind of fun now for a little birth or a Christmas gift or something. And
it's like Lisa Lionheart.
Yeah, of course.
Right. This is important.
I don't know. I'm just a girl.
Don't ask me. I'm just
that
a girl.
That was it. Yes.
A hush falls over the General Assembly as Stacey approaches the podium to deliver what will no doubt be a stirring and memorable address.
Let's bake some cookies for the boys.
Come on, Stacey. I've waited my whole life to hear you speak. Don't you have anything relevant to say?
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
Let's all forget our troubles with a bowl of strawberry ice cream.
I can't believe you're just going to stand by as your daughters grow up in a world where this is their role model.
I had a Malibu Stacy when I was little, and I turned out all right. Now let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream.
Now let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream.
Anything to bring up Malibu Stacy.
Of course. Yeah, but she's got a new hat.
And she's...
Wait, don't be fooled. She's just a regular Malibu Stacy with a stupid cheap hat. She still embodies all the awful stereotypes she did before.
But she's got a new hat.
I knew you'd appreciate that reference. So few people in my life would get that reference. So, huge week in the sports world for that. So shout out, like I said, I never thought I would say this, but shout out to the Miami Marlins.
Honestly, for kudos for sure. Good. Being the first to go ahead. And like you said, it sucks that we have to, you know, congratulations for making a good hire. But that's what this is. And it is big. It is important. But hopefully moving forward, the gender of your hire becomes less and less important as we go. And for now, it absolutely is. But hopefully that puts us on a road to a place where this becomes more of a standard occurrence. And quite frankly, we can rip or congratulate these teams based on the candidate's qualifications and not their gender.
Exactly. Exactly. And on similar news, in terms of diversity in sports, the Florida Panthers just announced today, actually, that they hired Brett Peterson as assistant GM, making him the first Black assistant general manager in the National Hockey League. So the NHL slowly
doing their best, slowly, I guess, coming along.
Exactly. I mean, again, like I could wax poetic about his background. He was a player agent for a while, came from the Wasserman Group. Played pro hockey and made it to the American Hockey League as a player as well.
Right.
But, you know, he's only 39 years old, so he's relatively young. And, you know, seems like a
probably
great
buddies
hire
with Kyle
by
Dubas.
The Florida.
Yeah, seriously. Or the Milhouse Group. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I've never felt as accomplished in my life as I did when the Coyotes hired John Chayka. It was the first general manager to be legitimately younger than me.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
Okay. Back to my Barbies.
Seriously. Can we just talk about Barbie for the episode?
Yeah, no, it's rough when you start to... And like it's bad enough with players where you see like 2,000 drafts, but now you see management types that are normally gray-haired, old, stuffy shirt, whatever, and you're like, oh, I see, that guy was born 7 years after me.
Yeah.
Great.
I think super. Kyle Dubas is maybe a year or two older than me. Like, I would say he's my age,
right?
In and around my age. That I can live with.
Yes.
It's when they get younger than
me.
Yeah,
no, it's no good.
That I'm just, also, Kyle Dubas, fun story, went to my alma mater, Brock University. So shout out Brock.
How about that?
50% of us is successful. So there you go. Go proud of you, Brock.
Yeah.
Let's get to what I've been waiting, I don't know about you, Matt, but mm-hmm. I have been waiting to talk about all week, is the Grey Cup. Now, this week would have been Grey Cup week. And
is this why you're on vacation right now? Had you already booked this week off?
You know what? It's a very weird coincidence.
Okay.
Because I've only booked this off like a couple weeks ago, very, very last minute. But that's a really good point, because I would have taken the week off and I would have been traveling to the great city of Regina, Saskatchewan. Thank you, COVID, for ruining my trip to Regina. Now I'll never have an excuse to go again.
There really is no other reason to go.
With all due respect to Regina, I'm probably not going to go there unless you host a Grey Cup. But,
right.
You know, it does suck that the Grey Cup is canceled. Yes. Obviously, the CFL season is canceled. The Grey Cup is... I'm kind of just discovering this myself, because the 2017 Grey Cup, which we're going to talk about in a minute, was my first Grey Cup ever attending. And a lot of people in Ottawa exposed to the Grey Cup in that. And my God, did we ever get exposed to an amazing Grey Cup week, because OSEG and the CFL and the city of Ottawa just knocked it directly out of the park. It was an amazing week. I then went to Calgary last year. That was my second Grey Cup. And I'm now told by my husband that we are quote unquote Grey Cup people.
Yeah. Love that.
We go to all the Grey Cups now, which is fine. Cool. I can live with that. But there are people, and I've discovered this at both Grey Cups I've been to, there are people who just, like, that is their...
That's their vacation.
That's their vacation every year. They plan their year around. They go to every single
Grey Cup.
We're going to
Regina.
We're going to Regina. We're going to Winnipeg.
Yes, that's it. Back to Winnipeg.
It just, I found it so fascinating. I was like, you know, we have a league that is, first of all, that's even possible. Like, imagine being someone in America who goes to every Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to be not just rich, you'd have to be like an oligarch to allow that to happen. But in, like, this is entirely possible in the CFL. It's not out of the realm of possibility for, you know, people like you and I to just go to every Grey Cup. So apparently that's what we're doing now. But I love talking to people.
You guys don't mind if somebody tags along, right?
That's cool. Of course.
All right.
I always love talking to people at the Grey Cup about, like, you know, how many Grey Cups have you been to now? And how many teams do you have season ticket holders? Do you have season tickets with?
Right.
Like, there are people in Saskatchewan who have season tickets to the Stampeders, and they drive to Calgary every other weekend or whenever they have a home game. And I'm like, pardon?
Yeah, nuts.
Like, there are people in Hamilton who, up until recently, that I met anyway, had season tickets to the Red Blacks. And I was like, what? What is this?
Yeah, that's incredible.
But, like, CFL fans are crazy. And, you know, we thought that since this would have been Grey Cup week, we could kind of wax poetic a little bit about the Grey Cup. And, of course, the greatest Grey Cup halftime show of all time in Shania Twain, 2017. There, I said it. Come at me. I dare you.
Well, why don't we start there? Because you were tweeting about it. I was tweeting about it. I can't remember the other day how this all came up. But I went back that night and watched the performance. And if I'm being honest, it's not as good as I remembered it being.
Tread lightly, man.
Okay.
Tread very, very lightly. No, I'm kidding.
No, and part of this is because I didn't care that much. So me and my buddy Maddie are standing in line for beers when she came out on stage. And so we're kind of watching it on the screen. Rob was lost for most of the second quarter. I have no idea to this day what happened to him. And I don't think he does either. He lost us and then couldn't find our seats. So he was just kind of wandering around. And I don't really know what the whole story was there now that I think about it. But Maddie and I are standing there. And Maddie, who's been on the show, will be on the show again this weekend to talk a little NBA. He's just a little brown fella. And we were having quite the blizzard during the game. And he's trying to pick up his beer and not spill it on his little mittens because he's freezing cold. And but as it's when you're watching it and you're kind of getting the double sound because you're hearing it plus the sound through the speakers up on the concessions, you kind of go, all right, like, this isn't going to sound great. And as I watched it back on the TV broadcast this week, I'm like, I don't know. She was kind of, and I don't hate Shania. I got a guilty pleasure song or two. And I thought she was a perfectly good, like, a big time name for a halftime show at the Grey Cup. And it just wasn't that good. Like, it kind of felt like her voice was a little lower than it normally is or something. I don't know. I guess I remembered it more positively, you know, because you're there and you're in the moment and you've had a few and whatever. And when you go back and actually watch it, you're like, oh, that's not great.
That's
sorry.
Fair.
Sorry.
I think that, no, you know what? I'll forgive you for it. I think that there was something about being in the crowd for that was just super special. Like,
often
the snow coming down,
yes,
and the energy
sled
of the crowd, the dogs that, oh my God. She, like I still say this in my head every now and then, like, Shania Twain entered the field on a dog sled and was escorted to the stage by a Mountie in the nation's capital for the Grey Cup halftime show while snow was gently falling in the background. Like, this is a Tim Hortons donut covered in maple syrup being eaten by a beaver. This is the most Canadian thing that has ever happened.
It's true. And
I still can't get over that. Like, that alone, she could have botched the entire performance. And that entrance alone will go down as one of the greatest halftime entrances, Super Bowl or Grey Cup.
Do you watch How I Met Your Mother? Were you ever into that show?
Yes.
So Robin Sparkle's episode,
yes,
where she plays the halftime show of Grey Cup in Hamilton. They have all these Canadian celebrities.
Ivor Wynn, as big as it gets.
Yes, exactly. And they're talking about Canadians can still tell you where they were and what Tim Horton's donut they were eating. to me, what you just painted the picture of is exactly that moment, only Shania so Twain true. Instead of Robin Sparks.
When Robin Daggers came out for the first time.
When grunge was born in Canada in 1997.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I had obviously bought tickets for the Grey Cup well in advance, as most people in Ottawa did, and I was going no matter what. But when I found out Shania Twain was going to be performing at the halftime show, I lost, and I cannot stress this enough, my damn mind. I am a huge Shania fan, and admittedly, like, I'm a child of the 90s, so like, yep. I haven't really listened to her music on a regular basis leading up to this concert anyway. Very much, but you know, before that.
Well, that was the other thing. She tried to slide a new song.
I will get into that.
Okay, sure.
I have things for this. I've thought a lot about this. So, as there always is when people find out about a halftime show performance, whether it's the CFL or the Super Bowl, there's always people who are like, really? And they criticize it. Yep. And I was ready to go on those people. But I'll say this. I always say this every time we talk about Grey Cup or Super Bowl halftime show performances. Like, if you're already watching the game, they're not trying to attract you.
That's right.
And if you are not going to watch the game and you don't like the artist, then they're also not trying to attract you. So basically, like, no one cares about your Grey Cup halftime show performance thoughts. In terms of leading up to it. I don't mean you, Matt.
No,
I mean,
Matt.
The general you.
Because I used to be that guy who'd get up, oh my God, it's the Guess Who at the Super Bowl.
Oh, we all did. Like,
but
everyone,
you kinda come
everyone
around
does it.
Exactly what you just said. I'm going to watch the game anyway, so why would they get me my favorite band, right? Like,
exactly.
You're trying to bring in a different crowd, a different audience, people who weren't going to watch the game. At least get them to turn on the halftime show, and maybe they'll stick around for the game afterwards. Maybe they won't, but that's the whole point. And so both on that front or with that understanding, but also understanding that I was going to the Canadian Football League's championship game, when I saw that it was Shania, I'm like, that's not right up my alley, but I'm like that's kind of cool. Like, that,
yeah,
I see what you're going for here. That's a big name for the CFL. Like, that's a cool get. I will be leaving my seat while it happens, but mm-hmm. good for you guys, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, she is, fun fact, she is the only artist to perform both at the Super Bowl and the Grey Cup.
Ooh, so, I had no idea. Mainly because I don't remember her playing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think 2004.
Okay.
I believe she performed. I think it was with a few other people, but but at a time there was no bigger pop or country artist than Shania.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, period, full stop. She is the most successful country music recording artist, female country music recording artist of all time.
Yep, that's true.
And the fact that Ottawa got her, you know, she was about to release a new album. She had just released a new album. She was about to launch a big tour. Like, this is kind of perfect for her as well, right?
Yep.
Having this national stage and in a country that just loves her, right?
Yep.
And, you know, so when we were at the Grey Cup, my husband and his friend went down to get a beer during the halftime show. And I were right before it started. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. I am gluing myself to the seat.
Yeah.
I don't care if you leave me alone. This is what I came here for.
Did you see Rob? Was he wandering around your seat?
Probably. Because there was, I will say, there was a guy sitting on the other side of me who I don't think was with anybody. And he was rocking out the whole time. He knew every single song every single word to all three songs she played. And when I kind of talked to him about it, he goes, yeah, my wife's a big fan.
Of course.
I'm like, yeah, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
But he, like when Man I Feel Like a Woman came on, like, I'm pretty sure he was more into it than I was. He loved it. And I, like the whole crowd around me, I can only speak to the atmosphere of the crowd around me, but like, you know, she comes out, she's in a dog sled, it's crazy, it's snowing, everyone's excited. She starts off with one of her biggest hits in that Don't Impress Me Much.
Yeah.
Really warms the crowd up. And then, yeah, she hammocks it with a new song. And I know a lot of people hate that. But I will say, I didn't get a lull in the crowd, at least around me at the time. Because I knew it was her new song, and I remember thinking, ooh, is this really a good idea?
And no, it's not.
It's not, but everyone was kind of into it. Like there were people around me singing the words to it.
Yeah, you understand that, like, that's the trade-off, right? To get an artist like this, to get them to come play a couple hits, you know they're going to try and sell something in between.
Exactly. But then she finished it off with quite possibly her biggest song of all time in Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Yes.
And, like, I've said this many times, but like when you hear "Let's Go Girls," if that doesn't awaken something inside you, I think you're dead inside. Like I love that song so much, and it's such a crowd booster. Like right. It was really I literally just watched the performance again maybe 20 minutes ago, and the energy that was coming from that crowd when that song was playing was just insane. And I know she's not, you know, not everybody's going to feel the same way as I did about the concert, but like I was watching it the next morning on my laptop because I was just so reeling from this performance. And then the tour that she was announcing, and she was kind of kicking off, since I wouldn't shut up about Shania Twain for the next 8 weeks, my husband ended up buying me tickets to go see her on tour.
What a good
she
guy.
Came to Ottawa for Christmas. So I let's just say that that night was like a reawakening of my love for Shania Twain. And I will always remember it and cherish it. And I think it was the greatest entrance of a halftime show I've ever seen.
That would be hard to argue. That part for sure is hard to argue. Now, I think we're only, because the first thing that was on my mind after watching the concert back was, I think she appeared during that June's Stanley Cup final on hockey night. And I remember watching that interview thinking, she's blasted, because she was like, it was just Scott Oak who found her in the crowd to talk to her or whatever. And so I went and I searched it back, and sure, and I'll share the video on our social media feeds. She's wrecked. Like, she's having a great little wine drunk
nice.
That moment. And I think it's the second intermission. She had no idea she was going to be on TV that night. And so he's just kind of, again, asking her to wax poetic. Hey, Canada's sport has made it here in Nashville. What are your thoughts? And she's like trying to sound excited, but she's also given that classic slow talk that people have when they've had a few. And I'm almost positive it's the same year, because I believe it was Pittsburgh Nashville in the 17 Cup final. And this was obviously the 2017 Grey Cup. Or do I have that right? Yeah, that's right. 2007. So I'm pretty sure these are, you know, probably for me, having gone years without thinking about Shania Twain, because I'm not a huge fan to begin with. And she'd kind of gone, you know, she wasn't as big as she had been 5 or 10 years earlier or whatever it might be. So to see her suddenly twice. But that was the first thing that came to mind after watching the concert back was, didn't I see her drunk on hockey night not too long before this? And sure enough, I found it. So
I'm going to need a clip of that.
I will send it to you. I will send it to you, and we'll post it on Twitter at Talkin' Audio as well.
Awesome. I will say this, and I'm only going to wax poetic about Shania for so long, but a lot of people talk about how she disappeared, all this stuff. Like, girlfriend went through some stuff.
Okay.
In that time period, she got Lyme disease. Ooh. And it attacked her vocal cords, and she ended up not being able to sing. She had to basically relearn how to sing.
Right.
And that's why, like, a lot of people talk about how her voice sounds different from when she, you know, the early 2000s.
Yep.
Because she literally had to relearn how to
all
sing.
Right, so you're kind of making me feel like an asshole.
No, I'm not saying that's make you feel bad, but like when you look into what happened with her in the last 20 years, like, it's insane. Even in her life, like, everyone talked when she was a massive country music star in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talked about the fact that, like, you know, she basically raised her brothers and sisters because her parents died when she was in her 20s, I think.
Right.
She grew up in extreme poverty in Timmins, Ontario. And, like, just all this stuff. Like, she's got such an interesting past, and she's overcome a lot to get where she is. And I just find her story so fascinating. On top of that, love her music.
Yeah, of course. Well, I always thought
it's not
it was
even a guilty pleasure for me. Like, I'm just straight up a Shania fan.
Well, I always thought that it was really cool that her hometown kind of honored her by renaming the rail station after her.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
It was the Twain Station.
Nice. Is that a joke or is that
real?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not real. And I'm so sorry.
I was really excited. I actually thought very highly of Timmins for a minute there. Like,
I'm
good
sorry,
for you,
everybody.
Timmins.
Yeah, no, I think my dad told me that joke like 20 years ago, and I've just held on to it because it's one of the
I'm
only
also the worst recipient of dad jokes, because I'm always like, really?
Is that true? You're like, no, of course not.
I'm slightly gullible that way. But so tell me a bit about your Grey Cup experience, Matt. You said that Ottawa was your first?
Yeah. So we had the pod going for a year or so by then, and we kind of got to talking that, like, we'd never had Maddie and Rob in studio together. And Matty always craps all over the CFL. He's a big-time NFL guy. He's a Patriots guy, and I know you can relate on that front. But
really?
Yeah. And so we thought, like, maybe we could do something with this, the fact that it's going to be here. There'll be some media types around. And that's the first time I ever got to know Andy from the Need a Beer Company. We asked them if they wanted to get involved, sponsor the pod. We'll do an episode every day that week with a different guest and talk about his beers and the brewery on each of them. And we kind of built it into this thing to try and get the podcast on the map a little bit. And it ended up working out pretty well. Andy himself was the Monday night guest. Then we had AJ Jakubek for the first time on Tuesday, and a couple other things as we went. And then on the Thursday, for some reason, just out of nowhere, and it's probably because I'd had a couple neat beverages already, I just sent Scott MacArthur a private message on Facebook and just said, hey, I know you're in town doing Radio Row and all these. You want to come by and have a couple beers? And there was no reason at all for him to say yes. He had no idea. He was like, yeah, all right, like we could do that Friday night or whatever. And so he came by and hung out. We did like a 2-hour show talking with him about baseball and the CFL and whatever else. And we started to get some traction there, right? Like now you've had a couple of people, and when you're trying to get new guests, you can say, you know, ask Scotty Mack. He'll give us a good word, right? Like these sorts of things. And then we obviously were able to go to some of the Grey Cup Week events that week and that weekend, and then come back and do shows about those as well. And we, I think that week I produced like 9 or 10 podcasts. And most of them at like 2 a.m. after we got back from somewhere, I'm sitting up trying to put them together. And it just, it became a tool as much as anything else. And then through the weekend, you kind of let a lot of that go and just, let's just enjoy this. And I don't know which parties you hit or how many of them. I can remember we went to the Spirit of Edmonton, which I believe was at the Centertown Brewery. And it was jam-packed. On the Friday night, Saturday, we did, I can't remember what the Argos party was called, but it was at the Barley Mow on Bank.
Oh, yeah.
They threw an amazing party. Now, it's a small place, and the Argos are not known for having a great traveling party or whatever, but because they kept it in this small place, it still felt packed, right? Like, it felt like a big deal. And then we made our way over to Ryderville, of course, which was unbelievable, right? And it lives up to the billing in a big way. And we hit a couple other ones along the way. I can remember Maddie and I, like our last stop on the Friday night was, I don't know, I hope it wasn't, but it was supposed to be a Blue Bombers party. I don't know that it was the official team party, but we went in there and there was like 9 people sitting there. And each one of them, I think, bought us a beer. So that was okay.
But it
was not a lively atmosphere. But it was after the Spirit of Edmonton, so we were already like, whatever, we've had a good night. So like we kind of used it as a way to start building up the show, but then also when we got there, we were basically sitting out on Bank Street, like we were way down at the far end, but still, like, it turned out to actually be a hell of a finish to the game as well. I grew up in the GTA, so I was an Argos fan until I moved to Ottawa in like 2012, and they were like 2 years away from starting a new team. And I was like, it could be kind of fun to get on board with this new thing. They're going to suck for a couple of years. Turned out only 1 year. but it was easy enough for me for a night to jump back on the Argo bandwagon and to see the crazy 100-yard touchdown play from Ricky Ray there late to get it going again was, I don't know, like it was a blast, and it was something. I don't know that I'm as committed as you. I don't know if I'd travel to Regina to do it again, but I would travel to see one or two out west, and maybe it would be Regina. I don't know, but probably Regina or Edmonton would be the two places you'd like to go. Maybe Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton stinks, but at least it's a good CFL town. So,
literally, it smells.
Yeah, exactly. It's got kind of a weird odor, but that's sort of like our thing. Like, we kind of made this decision to sit down and use it to build up the show while it was going to be right in our backyard, and it worked in that regard too. So to me,
it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, all eyes are on the city.
Yep.
So why not?
Right. And so I have nothing but fond memories of that. Some of those memories are a little fuzzy, but they're all fond of that week.
That means
sure.
They're good.
That's right. That's right. Did you hit many of the parties?
I did. Yeah. So we took that week off, and basically from, I think the parties really got going on the Wednesday and then into the weekend. And so pretty much from then on, we were at least in the area doing something. We didn't always get, I remember we tried to get into Ryderville one night and I think it was too busy. So we gave up on that, but like, you know, we hit the Red Blacks party, which was amazing in the Aberdeen Pavilion. We went to, I think we were maybe one of like two of 20 people who did this, but we went to the BC Lions party, which was where the cabin used to be in the market.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank God you know where that was.
Yep.
was I the only one who made poor choices as a young adult? No. Okay. I was a BC Lions fan before the Red Blacks came to town, because when I became a CFL fan, I just needed a team to cheer for.
Sure.
And my husband's a huge Argos fan. I couldn't do it. And I also, we were living in St. Catharines at the time. I also couldn't cheer for the Ticats. So I chose BC at random. And
that is random. Big Casey Printers fan.
They were so bad that year too. I was like, I don't want anybody to say I'm a bandwagon jumper. I get that enough with the Patriots. I want to choose the worst team in the league. Happened to be the BC Lions. I'm also a huge fan of like the West Coast. So
right.
It just kind of fit. And I ended up getting to watch them win a Grey Cup. It's the great thing about being a CFL fan. Your team's
yeah, eventually
bad,
you're going to get there. Yeah.
And so I watched them win a Grey Cup. And until 2014, I was a huge BC Lions fan. So I had to go to the party just to, you know, just to
sure.
See it.
Yeah.
I ended up getting a sweet BC Lions toque that
nice.
I still wear to this day. So, you know. Wasn't all lost.
Right. Well, 20 people. I think that's bigger than the Winnipeg party I got to.
Well, exactly. Exactly. We went to the Argos party because, like I said, Josh is a huge Argos fan. We ended up, I think the Barley Mow was where we did the pre-drinks for the actual Grey Cup. Like, we got there early and the only place. Even when we're, like, during normal CFL seasons, like, we're season ticket holders to the Red Blacks, so we never even attempt to get a seat in a table or at a restaurant in Lansdowne.
No.
Like, there's no point unless
no,
you get there
not.
At 10 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not happening. So we always go down Bank Street a bit, and the Barley Mow is usually the first place we'll check.
Right.
And you're still lucky to get something there, and then we'll go down to Patty's where it's usually possible to get something. But we went to the Barley Mow before the Grey Cup, and we spent quite a bit of time at the Argos party as well. And
so where was the Argos party that you went to?
At the Barley Mow.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. It wasn't going on the day of the Grey Cup.
No, right.
I think it was
okay.
just
Fair
the
enough.
Regular.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think they had like a tent set up outside the Barley Mow,
yeah,
if I remember
did, yeah.
correctly, which was pretty sweet. And I think we eventually got into Ryderville one of the nights we were there. I don't think we spent much time in there. We wanted to say we did it, and then we left and went back to the Red Blacks party. But I had such a great time in everything I did. I was involved in a few of the events that they hosted, where OSEG had invited myself and Janine, my podcast co-host, to. I think there was like a CFL women's training camp that we went to, which was really, really well done. And the one thing I remember most is just like, I kind of talked about this earlier, but everyone I met was talking about, you know, first of all, they were probably from out west or out east or, you know, not from Ottawa.
Right.
And they were talking about the fact that this was their 8th or their 12th
yes.
or their 14th Grey Cup. And I was like, this is like, that was where I first realized that this was a thing, that
right.
people traveled with the Grey Cup. And I thought that was so cool. And, you know, it is a, you know, I joke about Regina, but what reason do I have to go to Regina other than if there's a Grey Cup there?
Sure.
Like maybe if I'm passing through, I don't have a job that would take me there. Maybe to go to a Rough Riders game if I really wanted to, but like, it is a great excuse to see the rest of the country.
It absolutely is. And you're going to a place that, see, this was one of the things, when I grew up as an Argos fan, I went to a few East finals. I was a big Argos fan, and you could get 35,000, 40,000, sometimes 45 into the dome for a big Argos game. And it was a good atmosphere, even though you were sitting so far from the field and you knew your stadium wasn't, you know, a great CFL stadium. But you always felt like, even then, despite being in the biggest market in the country, as almost this CFL outcast, right? Like, we are so far from being the most important team in this league, which as a Toronto fan, you like to be, right? Us Leaf fans believe we're the center of the hockey universe and all these sorts of things. But you're like, you look at when the Grey Cup goes to Saskatchewan and you're like, those people love this league. And they're having so much fun with it in Winnipeg and in Edmonton and even in Montreal, where They're playing it at the Big O, which is, again, another antiquated piece of shit stadium. But they're loving they played most of their games down at Percival there, and it made it seem like a cool place to be. And I was so happy when I saw the Argos were going to move to BMO. I'm like, this is going to be great. It's not going to immediately turn the franchise around. I was already long gone and living in Ottawa and had become a Red Blacks. But I'm like, it's going to be so much better to have this kind of small stadium down at the lake. And it just hasn't worked, right? And I was keenly aware of that the whole time that I was an Argos fan, and that when they were having some success with Damon Allen and even later on a little bit with Michael Bishop and whatever else, it just didn't feel the same. When they put Grey Cup 100 at the Dome, you're like, I get it. You want to be in that media hub, but it gets lost. Like, if you were to go to a Grey Cup in Regina, it would be the biggest thing to hit Regina since the last time the Grey Cup was there.
Since the last
Grey Cup. Right. Whereas in Toronto, you're like, where are we going? Like, where are these parties? There's maybe a couple up at Queen West, and this one's over at... It's going to get lost, right? And Ottawa's just kind of... It's a big enough city that it feels like a big deal, but a small enough city where you can still kind of easily navigate around and get to these things and still enjoy it. And that was always, to be honest with you, one of the, you know, bring downs of being an Argo fan was no matter how good the team was or even if the big game was coming, it was going to get buried. And
yeah,
that was so cool in Ottawa to see that that wasn't happening. It was a big deal in town. And we went, like I said, on the Friday night, Maddie and I were at the Spirit of Edmonton. Like, oh, hey, look, there's Steve Simmons just standing over there drinking a beer, and there's Pierre LeBrun back in the back corner. And they're like, you're kind of seeing these media types that are here and enjoying it too, right? And where in Toronto, I don't know that you'd have found any of these parties. You'd have just ended up in some random Friday night at the Loose Moose or whatever. Right downtown.
That's the thing. It is tough. And I mean, I hear a lot about it being married to an Argos fan, but I do feel bad for the Argos and Argos fans because, you know, they're a medium-sized fish in the ocean in Toronto, yeah. Whereas any other CFL team, I mean, they're a medium-sized fish in a smaller pond.
Right.
There's maybe an NHL team to compete with, right. And the seasons barely overlap. But in Toronto, I mean, you've got every major sports league minus the NFL with a team there.
Yep.
And, you know, plus Toronto FC and plus countless other things to do in this.
Probably
in
two or three concerts in the area that night. And
exactly. And I know people could maybe make the same argument for Montreal and Toronto, but it's not the same.
It's not.
Montreal and Vancouver, sorry. But also both of those markets are known to struggle a little bit in
yep.
CFL.
Yep.
But that's kind of why. It's the bigger markets don't tend to play as well because there's so much else to do.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the CFL only succeeds when there's nothing else to do, but you know, it is a smaller league. It's a 9-team league.
Mm-hmm.
I think the CFL is very self-aware in that sense. And, you know, in markets like Ottawa, they know that kind of where they fit in the entertainment realm. And Ottawa, I could talk forever about how OSEG has made going to a Red Blacks game the social experience of the week.
It's so fun.
And I think that, you know, there's something to be said. I think other teams could really capture that. And I think they are looking at that. But I always say that I feel horrible for Argos fans because it's so hard to watch your team struggle. Even when, you know, I've watched the Argos win 2 Grey Cups now.
Yep.
Just myself as a fan. One at the 100th Grey Cup and really the league's largest stage it's had in 100 years.
Right.
And still, they still struggle. And I know how much that sucks, but... You know, you look at in contrast, sorry, Regina, I'm going to do it again. but like in Regina, there's the Rough Riders are it.
Yep.
And that's why Rough Rider fans are crazy.
Yes.
And everywhere.
Yeah.
Because that is, it's a small city, but that's it. That's what they have is Rough Riders football, and they will die for it.
Well, especially in a government town like Ottawa, right, where there's enough people there working from different parts of the country. You will find Rider fans everywhere in this country.
I make a joke about that quite often, the fact that I see Rough Riders fans everywhere. But I'm you know, yes, you'll see them at, I've been to games at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, and it was against the Rough Riders, but there were Rough Riders fans all over Edmonton that day. Every city I've gone to in Canada, I've seen a Rough Riders fan somewhere. But the best story for me is 2 years ago, Josh and I went to Italy. And we land in Venice and we take the bus into the island and we get off the bus and we're about to walk to our hotel, and the first person we see is wearing a Saskatchewan Rough Riders t-shirt. And I looked at Josh and I was like, we are halfway across the world right now, and they are everywhere.
Well, I got the same store down at it's not Italy, but I'm at the Winter Classic or Centennial Classic, Leafs and Red Wings in Toronto. It's New Year's Day, and there's some crazy son of a bitch six rows in front of us in his Rough Riders jersey, no sleeves, just out there, and the rest of us are just frozen. This guy's just drunk, no idea if he could have possibly cared less about either team or not. I'm sure he was, you know, liked one of the teams to pay the money to be there, but there he is in his Rough Riders jersey. Like, they're everywhere.
I think part of being a Rough Riders fan is just, like, I have heard people talk about this, but I think there's some kind of deal that, like, you are required to wear your jersey or some sort of paraphernalia out in public at least X number of times per year.
Right.
I think that's like part of the deal with being a freshman. I have heard some people from Saskatchewan say, though, that it is kind of like a national calling card of someone letting you know that they are from Saskatchewan.
Right.
So that other people from Saskatchewan can be like, hey,
it's like a homing
I'm also
device.
From Saskatchewan. Like, that's it, I guess.
Fair enough.
I was at a Patriots game at Gillette Stadium, and sure enough, I was walking around the concourse, and there was some guy there wearing a Rough Riders jersey. I was like,
awesome.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can't escape them. Everywhere. I mean, God love you, Rough Riders fans. I have several questions about the watermelon on the head, but
seriously, yeah.
That's for another discussion.
Sure.
But yeah, I all that is to say, I mean, it does suck that we're not getting to watch a Grey Cup this year. We're not getting to go to a Grey Cup. I think the Grey Cup is one of the greatest things that Canada does, because there's so many people who just rally around it, like their annual pilgrimage to wherever it is.
Are you, and I've just been thinking about this in the last day or so since we decided we were going to do this show. They talked a little bit about bubbling in Saskatchewan and in Winnipeg, maybe one or two bubbles. And here we are in November, Grey Cup week. Winnipeg is on fire as it comes to the disease. I don't know, as they talked about bubbling, if it was ever in the plans for fans to be able to go to any games in those provinces, which at the time were doing far better than the rest of us. Are you, I don't know how to phrase it, would you be happier to be getting ready to watch a Grey Cup on Sunday that had no Grey Cup week, is going to have no fans in the building and no atmosphere? And we've seen that in all these sports now. They've all managed to get through with no fans. Would you rather be seeing that as something, or are you sort of like, I guess if we can't have fans, let's just not do this at all?
That's a really good question, because I've long said that the Grey Cup itself is only like 30%
of
the game.
Yeah, it's the whole week, right?
It's the
event.
It's the whole week. It's the atmosphere. It's the parties. It's, you know, the CFL is the fans.
Yeah.
Like, I just talked about the fact that the fans travel with the Grey Cup. Like, a Grey Cup without fans feels like no Grey Cup at all.
Right.
That being said, I mean, I don't think the CFL can survive another season of not playing. I also think, and we've talked about this before, you know, they're a gate-driven league. They need fans in the stands. They need bums in seats to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, it's not the same kind of margins you're looking at in other professional sports leagues. So, you know, is it better than nothing? And if it's for the sustainability of the league, then yeah, I'd take it.
Right.
But I don't think it'd be the same. I think it would be a drastic difference than what we're used to with the Grey Cup and with the CFL season overall. Because like I said, there are fans who have season tickets in cities that are 8 hours away from them. And there are fans who travel with their team, and there are fans who travel with the Grey Cup. And the CFL is just so driven by the fans being there that it would be so different. Where do you sit on that?
I've been back and forth. There is a part of me, though, that thinks, despite having watched, you know, the NHL do their thing and the NBA do their thing and get through it, there's just something, I think as I watched the season, I would have been happy to be seeing some football, because I'm not a big NFL guy. But I think on Grey Cup Sunday, I'd be bummed, especially having been through Grey Cup week now and knowing what was supposed to happen and the parties that are supposed to go on ahead of time. And as you said, just bumping into people and hearing them go, yeah, this is Grey Cup 35 for me. You're like, Jesus, man, good for you, right? Like, I think there's a part of me that would be sad watching this, where I sort of got over that with the NHL and the NBA, and I don't know why. I think it's just, as you've kind of pointed out, this idea of the relationship that the CFL by necessity has to have with its hardcore fans, and your hardcore fans weren't going to be there. I think watching the game, once you were deep into it, they would have pumped in the crowd noise and they would have tightened up the camera shots and these sorts of things. There would be moments where you could forget about it, but I think overall you'd feel like this is lacking something. This isn't the same. And I know all sports sort of had that, but I think I'm happier that they're just not doing it rather than half-ass doing it. We'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, for 1 year at least.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Like, no, they need to come back with fan, like, to survive. They need to be back next year and with people in the stands. But I think on Sunday, it would have bugged me to watch the game and been like, this isn't right. This isn't out. Whereas the Super Bowl, it's just going to be like, well, whatever. Like, this would have been all corporate bullshit anyway. Like, I don't care.
I hate the fans in the stands at the Super Bowl. Like, I can't relate to them at all.
No, I know.
Like, how did you get there?
Right.
Like, how much money do you make, or who did you kill to get there?
CFL, there's no team called the Spungos, and your tickets are printed on crackers.
He's eating our tickets.
The Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't watch Simpsons right now is
they have
very
not enjoyed
confused.
This podcast, but that's all right. For those who do, or they're enjoying it, that's fine.
Well, I think between Simpsons references and waxing poetic about Shania Twain, I think I've stolen enough of your time for the day, Matt. But any other parting words that you'd like to leave the listeners?
I guess the last thing, even if it's not for you, are you taking part in any of the online stuff, the Grey Cup Unite stuff?
That's a good question. So I've received all the emails, and I'll admit I haven't even looked at them yet. Right. I'm going to take a closer look because I know I think I talked about this on the show, but I wasn't a huge fan of what they did with the, hey, you can have your name printed on the table that's going to hold the Grey Cup.
Ugh.
Not for me.
No.
But I'm interested in if there's a way that I can support the CFL somehow. And you know, I know there's a bunch of webinars and stuff going on with, like, you know, coaching panels and, you know, I'll probably check it out, or at least buy a ticket and support them. Cause again, like, this was money I was going to be spending there anyway. I was going to spend a lot more money going to Regina for this. So I may as well support the league a little bit, but I haven't looked too closely at it yet. How about you?
Yeah. I thought, like, I registered, it was free to register, and there's different events, throughout the week. As you said, some are pay, some are not, but to get registered was free, and I wanted to support them at least in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stuff I'm more interested in is still coming up. They're going to have a couple of ones where, like, different players from different leagues are going to have, like, cook-offs and stuff like that. That isn't really my thing, but again, if, you know, to kind of get a little bit of a fix and support the league a little bit, I'll probably check out. They're going to play some classic games throughout the week on their website. I will probably go back and watch some of that. I thought I'd be more into the online side of it, but I do find myself a little bit like you, just going, it's really just about supporting the league if you can a bit. And it's just not the same. You know that in Regina, there's people that should be building up for big, we're going to be one of them for big parties and having a good time. And so, I wanted to support the league, and I like the initiative, and I hope people are taking advantage of it. For some reason, I just haven't been able to fully wrap my arms around it.
I will. I'm sure TSN's going to do this, but if they're airing any older, and by older, I mean even from the last couple of years, Grey Cup games or big games, I would 100% watch that. The Red Blacks re-aired TSN re-aired, and the Red Blacks had a watch party for their Grey Cup a few months ago, like early on in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan of that. That was a fun night. So
yeah,
if there's anything
sure.
like that, like I'll watch old games, like, just to kind of feel a little nostalgic. And, you know, I've watched the Shania Twain halftime show now three times in the last week, so I'll probably do that another couple of times.
Maybe we can do that. We'll gather TCA listeners. We'll live watch the Shania thing on Sunday. We'll find out.
I know there's like three people listening who are interested in this, but I am 1,000% in on that. You're also, like, you're talking to the girl who watched the J-Lo Shakira halftime show. into the double digits within the first week after it aired.
Wow.
So I have boundary issues.
Yeah, so you're one of those people, eh, that like the opposite of me, where they're not trying to get me with the halftime show. You're like, I love the game and I love these halftime performers.
Well, that's the thing, because like I'm watching the game no matter what.
Yep,
and
exactly.
Like, listen, there's sometimes with a halftime show, like Justin Timberlake couldn't have cared less, and it was also a terrible show. But you know, Lady Gaga, hell yes, I am.
Katy Perry was terrific, and I'm anything
but
a Katy
Left Shark for God's sakes.
And I'm anything but a Katy Perry. Like, that's just not my style of music. But that was such a good show, and I don't want to sound condescending. She was cute as a button while she did it, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it was awesome.
She was basically the Hunger Games if you watch it through. Like, I'm pretty sure she was every iteration of the Hunger Games in that show. But you know, Missy Elliott came out. That
right.
was a fantastic show. And
yeah.
Who's Prince,
yes, who's the girl? This would be 2 or 3 years ago now. Who did the Grey Cup? And she's a big deal in the pop world. But that
Alessia
I had,
Cara?
Yes,
yeah, she was good.
I watched that. And the whole time leading up to it, I think that was the first time ever I felt like, oh no, old man Matt is here. Like, I have no idea who this person is. And I put that out on Twitter and got roasted. Like, you're an idiot. You haven't listened to the radio in... Like, no, I probably haven't. Like, I listened to my shit on Spotify or whatever. And she put on a good show. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't know who the hell she was. I didn't know one of her songs. And so I obviously couldn't wrap my arms around that this was a big deal, right? Like,
I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. And now whatever it is seems weird and scary to me.
You make me feel like dancing.
I want to dance the night away.
What the hell are you two doing?
It's called rocking out.
You wouldn't understand, Dad. You're not with it. I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
No way, man. We're going to keep on rocking forever. 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 Forever.
Sorry.
I hate that I have to wear that.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, Grandpa. Simpson.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm with you, though. Like, I'm not... It's not that I'm not a huge Alessia Cara fan. I don't know a lot of her music, but I remember watching that show and going, oh, she sings this song?
Right. Okay.
Oh, she sings... Like, I knew the song just because
yeah.
I had, like, flipped through the radio. But I didn't know they were her. And that's happened to me a few times. Like, again, like, I'm not one to criticize. I will criticize if it's a bad show,
mm-hmm.
like if they put on a terrible performance.
Yeah.
But I won't criticize the choice of the act. Like, I remember even coming to the defense of Justin Bieber in the 100th Grey Cup.
Yeah.
I was like, he's the biggest recording artist.
That was a
in
huge
the moment.
Get for the CFL.
Huge get.
Incredible.
And
last year's, who was the country guy last year? Keith Urban.
Oh, Keith Urban.
I'm not a country guy. That is a huge name for the
Massive.
CFL to land. Like,
and in Calgary, like,
yep.
I don't think I need to tell anybody this, but Albertans kind of love country
exactly.
music.
It was, that was a tremendous get. Now, they probably left him in studio with Chris Cuthbert a little too long after the show. That got a little awkward. But I remember looking at that and going, okay, again, this isn't for me, but that is one of the biggest recording artists in the world coming
yep.
to the Grey Cup. That's
yep.
it. That's huge. Right.
And they're not always going to get that guy or that girl,
no.
but it does happen every now and then. And you have to give them props when it happens.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
you
right.
know, with all due respect to Bachman Turner Overdrive, they're not. And again, like, I'm not going to criticize it, but
I
if
know.
You're trying to bring it like that, that's appeasing to your fans who
that's,
are probably already watching.
Right. That's right.
And the Super Bowl did that for a few years after the Janet Jackson thing.
Yep. Play it safe.
They
here's
played
Bruce
it safe.
Springsteen, here's
yeah.
Bon Jovi, here's whatever. Right?
I'm still not over the fact that they have allowed Justin Timberlake to return
and
not Janet Jackson,
right.
but that is for another day.
Sure.
But again, like,
criticism.
I feel like, you know, when you're bringing in artists like that, I don't know much about their market research, but I'm sure that the fan base of that artist overlaps strongly with the fan base of the people already
no
watching.
No doubt about that.
You have to get wherever you can the top 40, the pop artists,
yeah.
because that's who's going to bring the non-football fan eyes to your product. And that is what you want, even if it's just for that 13 minutes,
yeah.
because there's commercials on either end of those.
Right. Well,
right?
And the next night on Entertainment Tonight, are they going to show highlights? No, but are they probably going to reference that Keith Urban was just at the Grey Cup? Yeah. probably come up.
Exactly.
Someone will Google what the hell's the Grey Cup, and and maybe you pull another fan out of there for next season somewhere.
That's what it's all about. And even with the Super Bowl, it's the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I could talk about this all day because I feel like we have this conversation every year whenever the halftime show performance is announced. But
I think my issue was Alicia Cara. It was just I'm used to recognizing the name and not knowing any songs. This was one that I was just like, I have no idea who this person is, right? Like, I have so long ago lost touch with what might be cool right now.
That's fair. At least that, you know what? That's just admitting, hey, I don't follow whatever the popular music is right
exactly.
now. And we're all going to get there at some point.
Yeah.
We're all going to get to
bring back AC/DC.
Yeah. Back in my day.
We're
all going to get to the point where we have no idea who this person is or the music they sing, and that's okay. We just have to embrace that your moment happened.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Congratulations. All right. Now that we've all, addressed the existential dread in the room, I think it's time to wrap things up.
This was fun. I'm glad you did this.
No, thank you again. Thank you for having me. As always, I'm A, always happy to talk sports, and B, I'm always happy to give a little shout out to the breweries in my area, and I like to do that with Braumeister. I've done it with Crooked Mile. I think that we're still in a time where we need to support local businesses as much as we can.
Agreed.
And we should always do that. But, especially right now. I know that you talked about potentially making a trip out to Carlton Place or getting some delivery, but I can't recommend it enough. It's a great spot. If it entices anybody, any of the listeners, right now they have a deal with the Polish restaurant right across the street at Braumeister where you can order some Polish, delicious Polish food, including pierogies that I'm still thinking about, while you're sitting in the brewery or on the patio. Great, great deal that they have going on right now. I think it's like Thursday to Sundays or Friday to Sundays or something like that.
I love that. There's a few places doing that. If they got somebody in the same plaza, somebody, order some food through our brewery, order some of our beer through their food. When you're like partner up where you can try and I think it's a cool idea. So you're so right. If you can support local at all and knock a few things off at the same time, it's awesome.
And I look forward to hearing about the beer advent calendar. I hope that maybe I can be on a few episodes during that time. And
absolutely.
You can tell me what you're drinking that day because I'm literally, as soon as we're done this, going to Google whether or not I can still buy one. And if not, I'm going to live vicariously through you and just text you every day asking what beer is it today.
Well, December is going to be big. The NBA will be back up and running. We're hoping the NHL camps will open. We'll have World Juniors approaching. The NFL will still be running. So absolutely, we'll definitely hopefully have you on again if you're up for it before Christmas and as we move through December. So.
Always, always up for it. You can find Tall Can Audio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Tall Can Audio. You can find me on Twitter at Shrides, S-C-H-R-E-I-D-S. You can find me on Instagram as well, just sharing beers at Crafted in the Capital. You can follow Shrides on Instagram too, but it is a private account, so I'll have to approve you first, but I like most people, so we'll see how that goes. All right, as always, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time on Tall Can Audio.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.